arena last night.
Yeah.
With ESPN there live.
It's not a fun day to be a...
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be working for John Calipari right now.
We will be live in just a minute, friends. Actually, I can't say that.
Actually, I think we are live.
Oh, we are? Just look, if people are watching it, it's like, oh, we are.
Somebody would tell us, surely, wouldn't they? Somebody would respond or something.
Well, for that, I'm not going to post. We're going to be live.
We're supposed to go until 12:06, so.
Figuring it out.
Yep.
This is the first week?
Yeah.
That just means that 24... That 25 minutes is probably closer to what we need to do.
Right. Yeah.
Well, if we just try to stick with Job and Satan and set it up, it'll probably take 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah. I'm not sure I want to stick with Satan.
No, we don't want to end there.
Well, no, I think that's a good idea.
Maybe y'all need to like...
Job and Satan. Yeah.
Then you'll be able to...
Nice pair. Yeah, we can tie that up. Yeah, I don't think we want to go any longer than that. People get
okay. We will be live in just a minute. That doesn't sound like me as much. I took the friends off. You know, you're supposed to write like you talk.
Yeah,
right. And that's how I talk. So.
That I just have to. Trouble if I write like I talk.
When we met with Todd, was that his name, the pastor at Lexington? Mm-hmm. We were talking about, was it him? I'm almost positive.
What's the word, Lee?
We were talking about how we would.
We are live. Please go.
Awesome. Hey, everybody. Welcome to our very first, if you can't tell, we're a little late, Q&R here with Pastor Wayne and Pastor Adam. We are so excited that you are here to be a part of this, and we are very thankful that you sent in your questions. And so we're just going to sort of set up for a minute how this is going to look. Some of you all have sent in questions, and we're very thankful for that, in through the email, and we will answer or respond to some of those today. We are not, as you can tell, we don't have computers in front of us, so we can't really see if you're commenting and things like that. But Pastor Lou, who's he's going to be managing the comments for us, so just know that somebody is seeing them, but we probably will not talk, or we won't talk about them today. But what we'll do is next Wednesday, when we come back here at noon, we will go back to the questions and we'll answer any questions or respond to any questions that we may have gotten in this week, next week. And so Pastor Adam, I think, is just going to sort of share with us a little bit about what this Q&R really is going
to
look like.
Right. I think the language is important. Like, we don't want to try to give answers. You know, the idea there is that we have all the answers, but that we want to try to respond, because I feel like this comes from people asking questions and trying to be faithful to God and to reading the Bible. And so the questions come from a place of trying to be faithful, and our responses are the same. We're trying to be faithful. We don't have it all figured out, but we're trying to be in relationship with God. So the questions and the answers are really the same thing, about a relationship with God and trying to love God and each other, and so response is a great way to talk about that.
Yeah, I think that also speaks to this idea of interaction and back and forth, because I know my own responses to the questions have changed over time, and they may change again. But it's this, the community that discovers truth. That truth is not something that's handed to us, but it's something that we live and experience
together
and discover. And same way with Scripture. Scripture is not something that we dissect or analyze or pick the definitions out of, but it's an invitation to a relationship and an experience. And so we want to maintain that feeling
that's
in our
right.
discussion.
And we have some of the same questions.
Absolutely.
Right? So that's another thing to sort of put out there, that people may feel like they're the only ones that would, you know, like you're sitting in church and it seems like everybody's happy and they're singing and, you know, and praying and they seem to have it all figured out, and you might feel like you're the only one with those questions. And what reading the Bible through together has shown, and part of why we're doing this, is that a lot of people have questions.
Absolutely.
A lot of people have the same questions.
Right.
And truth be told, we often have those right. same questions.
And that kind of authenticity, or create, like you said, creating a place where people can be honest about our doubts and our questions, creates the possibility that we can discover other people who are struggling with the same doubts
right.
and questions. And it could be that as we respond to the questions, sometimes it may feel like we're dodging them because we don't know.
Right.
But we want to be authentic about that and not make something up. You know, the temptation to be honest is to have
to make something up. Yeah,
right?
There's pressure to have it.
And sometimes I may give in to that pressure and make something up or try to bluff my way through.
But you say, I don't know enough times, people
that's
are
right.
like, well, like,
why watch?
Why did I go to school all those years? And why
right.
did I get paid to be a pastor
right.
and all those
yeah.
things?
Right. Yeah.
So,
and maybe, hopefully, the idea will be that we're discovering this together.
That's right. And I think another way of talking about this is really helpful is that I've heard is that we're not doing debate.
Exactly.
But right. dialogue. Yes.
Right.
Like so often, and quite honestly, a lot of conversation now kind of out there and about or on social media is sort of argumentative or
right.
debate oriented. Like right. we've got to battle it out and mm-hmm. resolve tensions.
Right.
And then we don't have any problems. And yeah. the Bible doesn't work that way.
Right.
And I think
yeah.
a lot of what we're going to be talking about is how what the Bible is and what it isn't and how it works and doesn't
yeah.
work. But trying to resolve those tensions in a lot of ways gets in the way of what the Bible is trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
And then trying to fix each other
right.
or like
yeah.
be right, that
right.
doesn't get us very far. So dialogue's better. It's a conversation
yeah.
with God,
right.
with each other.
Yeah, and I think it's more true to the spirit of Scripture, too,
yeah.
because obviously if you read the Bible, it doesn't try to resolve all those questions.
Right.
It doesn't ease all those tensions. And if you think about our own lives as we try to follow Jesus, I mean, there's a lot of tension and struggle in
right.
that, and that's why we do it together. So
right.
it's not about resolving those, but it's about living together faithfully in those.
That's really helpful because I think a lot of what people feel is that tension having read the Bible. And maybe
right.
the most important thing to say from the beginning is that those tensions were left in there.
Exactly, yeah. That's
and that tells
good.
Us something, doesn't
right.
it?
Yeah.
The Bible has those tensions because somebody didn't go in and edit them out
right.
and try to make it all
yeah.
fit
yeah.
in a way that made this a lot easier for
that's
us, right.
Right?
Right.
right?
Right. And I think the other thing that's really important is that we want to create spaces like this.
Right.
Where the church can be something different than what you might experience other places.
Yeah.
Where at the end of the day, we're not trying to prove I'm right and you're wrong.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we're trying to use this as an experience to love people well and
mm-hmm.
to at no point sort of say, because you disagree with me, you have less worth than me.
Yeah.
So the right or wrong and trying to prove, you know,
right.
who's right and wrong is just not the point.
Exactly.
And it does, it, like in the comment section that we'll have, if somebody wants to be argumentative, that's fine. We're going to respect that. We're probably not going to answer it.
Right.
We're not going to respond to it because it's just not what we're doing.
Yeah.
But if we can enter a dialogue, I think that creates something that's really special.
Exactly.
That the church can really do
right.
so that people are always safe. They're not judged,
right.
and they have a place where they can answer or
yeah.
have questions
right.
and feel like there's nothing wrong with them to ask.
And I think that approach also expresses a risky faith in the Holy Spirit
yeah.
to lead us into truth, that it's not up to me to use all my wisdom or our combined wisdom
right.
even, but to believe that the Holy Spirit can take our conversations and our relationships, and out of that, God will make himself known
right.
as we live into the Scripture and we allow it to be what it is instead of forcing it to say something that it doesn't. But you know, a lot of what it says is weird and strange and confusing and just let that be, but to trust that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth like Jesus said he would.
Yeah, that makes this pretty exciting as
yeah.
we talk about some things that, you know, are not easy to answer
right.
or have response to,
yeah.
you know, as people ask questions
right.
about.
And that's kind of the thing going into it. You know that the questions are going to be hard. You know,
right.
Nobody's going to ask easy
so
questions.
So let's just start with something easy like Job,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yes, Job stumped several of us, myself included, and we have had several questions that came out of there. And so that's really where we're going to start at today. We may not get to Exodus today. So if you send in questions, please know that we have those. They're right here. But we want to honor your time and your lunch break. So we don't want to be on here forever. But we'll come back to Exodus next week, as that's where we will also be in Exodus next Wednesday as well. So just know that Exodus, if we don't get to your questions today, we have those, and we promise that we'll get to those next week. But today we're going to start in Job. And the first question that we have for you is this one. Why was Job so convinced that he was faultless?
I think the answer is that he was, right? Like, that's the point of the story, was to tell a story about someone who was faultless, that sets up the tension of the story and really the purpose of the book of Job, which is to wrestle through the kind of classic questions of why does something bad happen to someone that's good, and to push against a theology that is really mechanistic, meaning like, if I do good things will happen to me. If I do bad things will happen to me. Job is created in the space to say, yeah, but what if it's not that? And so it's a story set up that way,
right?
That's what the beginning tells us. Yeah. He's faultless.
It doesn't work unless he's faultless. Hmm. If there's any reason, if he has any wrongdoing that could be the cause of the bad stuff that happens, the whole story falls apart. And so, you know, whether it's he's an actual person or not isn't the issue. The story is set up to answer this question. Is the bad things in my life the result of the bad things I've done? And the answer resoundingly is no. And like Adam said, over, you know, you almost get tired of it over and over and over again. That's what the counselors keep saying is, well, you've done something bad. I don't know what it is, but you've evidently done something bad. And he keeps saying, no, I haven't. Right. And that's the whole plot of the story, and so if there's any fault in him at all, it all falls apart.
It wouldn't make sense.
It wouldn't make sense.
Right.
It loses its power.
We sort of bring, I think, a sort of Christian way of thinking that says any person is going to have good and bad in them, and that's just not what's going on in the story. You got to have to set that aside.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
For a story that is literally thousands of years old, and a story that was told for a specific purpose.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is to live in that tension and help us navigate and then experience with Job the back and forth over and over and over again. One of the things that I thought was cool about reading this together is that people kept saying, oh my goodness, when they stopped pestering Job, when they leave him alone. Yeah. And I think that experience is the purpose of the book, is that you not only read it, but you feel that tension yourself.
Yeah.
And that, you know, comes back and forth, and you're like, the third friend's done. You're like, oh my goodness, thank goodness it's over. And then the fourth one, you're like, no, it picks it up again.
Yeah.
And that's the point. So
wouldn't that be just a wonderful thing if we could get to that place where we experience Scripture and not just read it? Mm-hmm. I think that's the intention of this revelation of who God is that he's inviting us to relate and know and experience this tension and struggle and mystery that's part of knowing him. That's what I think Scripture is, that invitation. And Job does that really well until we try to analyze all the details. And I think that applies to all of Scripture. You know, we can try to get into the details and miss the experience. Mm-hmm. And so the experience is walking where Job walked and feeling that, just like you said.
Right. And I think it's sort of natural for us. I mean, we all do this. We read the Bible and there's something that stands out and we think, okay, that's strange.
Yeah.
And one kind of way of looking at the Scripture is to say, you know, if something that's been handed down to us through thousands of years, that we shouldn't be surprised that there's stuff that's like that's weird and strange from different cultures or understood, you know, different understandings of God even. What maybe it should be shocking to us is how much is right.
Yeah, that's
right?
A good point. Yeah.
So like here you have a book in the Bible that just will refuse to have a trite and simplistic theology about God.
Right.
And refuses to do to people what Job's friends did to him.
Right.
You know, so because of Job, I think we do ministry differently. We are going to honor people and not try to fix them or try to blame them.
Right.
And that blaming and that kind of theology has done a lot of harm to people.
Yeah.
So it's amazing you have this this ancient scripture that helps us get at something that we still struggle with.
Right.
Yeah. Now, I want to kind of help. I've had a couple conversations with different folks. I have my own small group and then some of the staff as we were reading Job. You know, we had similar conversations to this. And I think it's important to say, I mean, I'll tell you what I think about Job. I think Job is an example of someone in the Bible who's not a real person. He's a story. I think they're, I mean, just because of that doesn't mean other people aren't real. I think, you know, you have to take each thing as it is. I think the story of Job is almost like a play to be experienced. Mm-hmm. And it's set up almost like a courtroom. And Job's friends are like, they're trying to interrogate him to try to pull the truth out from him. Yeah. And then that back and forth becomes the drama of that story. Mm-hmm. And that frees people up a little bit to say, okay, this is a story told for a purpose, but not the experience of a real person. Except that it's sort of the experience of all people, right. You know?
Yeah.
So I think that's one thing. I think the other thing that it also might free us up to do is to look at that story and see it, as is the case with a lot of the Bible, that when a story is told and you have to sort of say what is this, and recognize that it may not try to tell everything there is to say about God. Like the book of Job is really trying to say one thing,
right,
not a bunch of things.
Right.
So we said this in a sermon early on in the series, that the Bible isn't seamless theology. It wasn't written down and every part connects to every part so that it all makes sense. Right. It's just not that.
Yeah.
So the more important question sometimes, like with the book of Job, is like, what is this really trying to say? What's the one thing it's trying to say? And when you hit that, I mean, I think there's a gold mine there.
Yeah.
And then can hold into tension some things that the story does say that we scratch our heads about.
Yeah.
Like, there are a lot of questions about
Satan.
Satan.
Satan. Yeah. There's our next segue, friends.
Okay.
Yes, we did get several questions about Satan. And so the next question that I will ask is, did God actually create Satan? And if he did, why?
I've been doing a lot of talking, and that was for this moment, so that I could step back now and let Pastor Wayne speak about his theology of Satan.
I would say if he did, it was a bad idea. you know, there's all that stuff about God created out of nothing, and so anything that is comes from him. And don't you know, and this is nothing brilliant, as if you expected brilliance, but they're just this idea of God creating possibilities, and out of those possibilities there are negative consequences as well as positive consequences. That's all I got. So
I mean, we've developed a pretty extensive theology of Satan, you know, all these thousands of years later. This story was written way before that. This is this is the first real developed idea of Satan, this first real naming of Satan in the Bible, if you read it chronologically. And so I think the story was not told to answer that question.
Right.
You know, and that's the hard part of Job, is that it was told to set up the tension of, mm-hmm. of the story, and that's it. So. Yeah. Satan is an interrogator, a tester.
And maybe at the best that we can draw from that is that this was not God, or did not originate from the heart of God.
I think that's right.
That there was something else going on. And the Bible, Job, the book, doesn't make any attempt to explain that any further. It just says, here's the setup.
Here it is, yeah.
And this is how it plays out. So it's a good question, but it's not one that's I don't think it's one that's answered in Job.
In Job, no.
So anything that we would say would be our speculation. Mm-hmm. And as well-informed and brilliant as that might be, probably
it's the first example of us not really answering the question, because I don't think it can be answered, because the story just isn't about that. Now, we're going to talk about Satan later in the Bible, and maybe we can come back to that.
Another thing off of that is, you know, did he create him? And then why didn't he just get rid of him? Why didn't God just say, be away with you, Satan, for good?
That seems to make sense, but there again, I think it's kind of misses the point of Job, that you know, and it's a good, you know, it makes sense to our mind from our culture and our day, reading back into that. But in the setting and for the purpose that the story was originally told, and enacted that wasn't a question that was part of the was answered.
Right. So the question behind the question might be, and I don't know, this is me guessing, but a question that I think we all would have is, does this story tell us something about not only the nature of Satan, but the nature of God, which is, mm-hmm. I think both those questions kind of get to. And I don't think so. I think, again, every story doesn't say everything right. about God. I think the story is told to set up the tension, but not to really speak right. to the nature of God. Why would God do that? I don't think God would. I don't think right. ultimately
right.
he would.
Yeah.
And I think it's an example of a story that's really old, and I think there's a development in theology throughout mm-hmm. the Bible. So, you know, some of a really basic understanding yeah. of God.
Yeah, I think that God
has developed.
And he really allows people to participate in this story that is unfolding, including those people who wrote those stories that we have as our scripture. And they're important and they are inspired, but they're also, I think, people's attempt to understand who God is and the revelation. And so from where the writer or the teller of the story was standing, it was not an attempt to explain that part. It was setting up a story to talk about why bad things happen to good people. And that's the point and how God relates to that. It wasn't about Satan and the nature of God in relation to Satan's existence, I think. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't belittle the question. I think it's a question that occurs to me and occurs to a lot of people. I just think we just don't get an answer there.
Right. Another way of saying it is it's just a very basic understanding of God and Satan that just doesn't get developed
right.
in the story.
Right.
So
yeah.
that's kind yeah. of what it gives us.
Right.
This is off of that one just a little. A caring and loving God plays a game with Satan and destroys Job's family just to try and prove a point to Satan. Why is that? Why do you think?
I think it's more a statement about what life does to people than about what God does to people. And life does that to all kinds of people, and that's kind of the point, is life does destroy people. And is it because they did bad things? Well, in Job's case, no. I think that's... And beyond that, we're kind of on questionable ground, I think.
Right. I think there are several places in the Bible... this gets a little ahead to the Exodus, but like where it says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And I think for me that's an outlier. It doesn't really fit in with several other things we find in the Bible that do speak to the nature of God. So I tend to put those things over to the side and say I can hold that intention and think that in general that doesn't get to the heart of God. And that's a great way, it's an important way to read the Bible. There are going to be tensions in there. But with that, then, like when we see things that have happened, bad things happen, and people still try to reconcile this, God's somehow involved in creating, or we use words like sovereign. How does that work? And so I think the assumption in a lot of places in the Bible is that if it happened, God had to be involved somehow.
Yeah.
And that's just something to kind of hold in tension. Well,
yeah.
And so obviously something that right. people have lots of comments about.
Right. And I think it's very relevant and it's very important, but it's one of those tensions that we live with, mm-hmm. is where is God in these bad things? And why does he allow that to happen? And how does grace work? And what does it look like for God's presence to do that? How does he suffer with all those things that we still struggle with today? Mm-hmm. is part of that. And obviously God left that tension in there, mm-hmm. because that's part of relationship, I think. It's unavoidable. It's part of what it means to live a life of freedom and dignity and grace, so that we're not manipulated, but we have opportunity to discover who we might be and who we were intended to be. And who he is in this ever-evolving way, I think, which is a lot of weird words stringed together. But I think that we struggle with that because we're supposed to struggle with that.
Mm. All right. Our last question on Job. This is a long one, but it's a good one. So in the initial chapter of Job, Satan asked God to let him test Job's faithfulness to God, and the Lord allowed it. After this, there is no more mention of Satan. What are your thoughts on why it is written this way? It is also true that in present times where we accuse God of punishment, illness, loved ones dying, things like that, it seems like now we tend to sort of fly past the fact that Satan does have responsibility to test God's people. And why is that?
The word test is the word test and trial, often the same word in the Bible. We're going to see that this coming Sunday in the story of Abraham and Isaac. And I think if you kind of look at it from the human perspective, I think that's probably where this is coming from. We feel tested. And so how does that happen?
Right.
I think people are giving answers to that.
Yeah.
And there aren't easy answers
right.
to that.
Yeah.
Does God test us?
Now I think there's this idea that one thing we know from Job is that Satan is not an equal to God.
Right. That's important.
This is not two gods fighting over Job. Satan or whatever force or power this is answerable to God. And so God is ultimately in charge. And this sense of trial, that doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. Every person we love is a trial to us. I know my wife says that all the time. So I just think that's
love does.
Yeah.
I mean, it suffers with.
Right, exactly.
And we're going to see that more fully in Jesus.
Right.
But this sense of being tested, I mean, Satan could be simply a personification of evil in the world. The Bible is honest about that,
right.
that there's evil in the world.
Right.
And so that's in itself kind of an important thing.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Yeah, very important. Yeah,
and
yeah.
that it's going to make life harder. It's going to push against the purposes
yeah, right.
of God and right. make us not want to love God.
Yeah.
I think.
Right.
Job kind of gets it all, that,
yeah.
doesn't it?
Right.
And evil does that.
Yeah. And that's in Job, evil obviously exists, but it doesn't tell us where it comes from. We'd like to know, but if you read the rest of Scripture, I'm not sure that ever gets answered exactly. But there's no doubt about who's the greater and the stronger.
So I think you might be looking for some answer to who Satan is. The Bible, I think partly why there's a lot of confusion about this is because the Bible doesn't give us a lot.
Right.
And in general, the Bible is much more about telling us who God is,
mm-hmm.
and is not even
right.
just a knowledge of God.
Right.
I mean, it's sort of a book knowledge, but a
relational
yeah. knowing
right.
of God.
Right.
And so because it's not a yin and yang, Satan is the equal,
right.
there is this element of evil and antagonism that
yeah.
Satan represents.
Yeah.
But that's nothing compared to
yeah.
the picture of who God is.
Exactly. Yeah. That's
and that's
really
why
good.
That's why I don't talk about Satan as much, quite
right.
honestly.
Yeah.
Because our theology isn't about Satan.
Right.
It's about God.
Right.
Doesn't mean we need to ignore Satan.
Right.
But he just doesn't need to get too much credit. Now,
yeah.
I say too, though, we talk a lot about evil and brokenness and
yeah.
people's hurt
right.
and suffering. And I think those are all a piece of that question in a way.
Yeah.
That those how those things test us
right.
and try us.
Right.
And the question is, are we going to be able to trust God through those? I think that's a real question.
Yeah.
It's not a trite question. It's not one that's answered tritely, like Job's friends
yeah.
do. It's one that's experienced.
Yeah. That may be the question. Is how do we trust God when evil and brokenness and heartache are part of our experience?
Mm-hmm.
For Job, who was a good man, for all of us,
right?
How do we trust God through that?
And talking about this, I have several friends who've been through a lot and have lost people in their lives or had big tragedies. And one of the things I heard again and again was those simple answers do more harm than
right.
good.
Yeah.
That trying to explain that away actually to something that ultimately can't be explained
right.
is more harmful than good.
But the bottom line, the big side of it is we can experience something that we can't explain necessarily, but in Christ we have this experience of grace and love and peace that comes and goes, but that we know is more real than the evil or the brokenness that we experience. That's
right.
our hope.
right? The Christian story has something to say about all of that, right? And God's willingness to suffer for us and love us to the full extent.
And he's right there with us. Absolutely. In our brokenness and suffering.
Right. Right. Yep.
Yeah.
And so that is it, friends. That is the end of our first session of Q&R. We made it. We survived. Hopefully we didn't take up too much of your time. But to honor that, like I said, we will get to Exodus next Wednesday right here at noon. If you have questions, there's a couple ways that you can submit those to us. One is just through the email questions@broadwayunited.org. You can send those in anytime. If you're reading tomorrow morning at O'Dark 30 and you have a question, shoot us an email. Or even on Sunday mornings with your communication sheets. So if you hear something in the sermon that you would like to ask a question about, or maybe you sort of keep a note of your questions and you turn them in Sunday morning, you can do that as well. But we just ask if you could turn your questions in by Monday at noon. That way we have some time to sort of just compile them so that we don't look like a mess when we get here on Wednesdays. And then that gives us time to look through the questions that you may have posted in the comments. We are a little bit of a mess. But anyway, there's grace for that. Praise Jesus.
That's right.
But that's it, guys. And we hope to see you next Wednesday right here at noon. And don't forget to send us your questions. Thanks.
All right.
Nope.
Nope. Not yet. Okay.
I did a great job.
That was fun.
Yeah.